Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, Northern California. How are we doing today? My name is Nigel. This is the California Adventure District Radio Show. And I'm flying solo for the next 4 minutes. Looks like James had a truck interaction with the Bigfoot somewhere. So he'll be here in a few minutes. Poor James. I hope everybody's okay. Welcome to another fine, smoke-filled Saturday morning. It's getting a little crazy out there, huh? Updates on the fires are the Monument Fire is 16% contained at 145,000 acres. The Dixie Fire is 35% contained at 705,000 acres. And this is serious at this point. Oh, look who walked in. Mr. James.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry about that. I had a little accident on the way here.
Oh, yeah? Everybody okay?
Everybody's fine. The trailer hitch, or the ball on the back of my truck, saved my truck, but did a little number on a little Toyota Camry.
I almost thought you volunteered at the new Bigfoot boarding camp. But maybe you're not going to make it. But anyway, just giving a quick update on the fires.
I can do that for you. It's bad.
I know it's bad. It's still bad. And got a nice message from Gail up in Weaverville. I guess Weaverville is an evacuation warning.
Oh, man.
not an order, but they have to stand by, which would be that'd be kind of nuts. I guess the smoke is pretty bad up there. And they are continuing under an evacuation warning.
That's horrible. Horrible.
So that would be good. But anyway, welcome to the California Adventure District Radio Show, August 21st. This show is actually going to be about Siskiyou County, all about Siskiyou County, like we did a few weeks ago with Humboldt. This one's about Siskiyou County. Our sponsor, again, is Vista Real Estate, Mr. Chad Phillips.
Wonderful.
And his team.
Delightful man.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We will be joined by Megan from Discover Siskiyou and Heather talking about economic development up in Siskiyou County. Yep. And then a little later on, we'll be joined by Mr. Chris Carr. He runs and owns the Shasta Mountain Guides.
Wow,
yeah, she
cool.
goes up and down the mountain.
You know, that is a...
Semi-frequently, I believe.
That's a bucket list.
I know.
But I have a lot of work before I get there.
Yes, it is actually on my list of things to do at some point when I'm about 60 pounds lighter.
I was going to say, that's the thing that's holding me back.
But what's interesting about Siskiyou County within California Adventure District, Siskiyou County, it's the largest county of all 12.
Okay.
Has 6,278 square miles.
Nice little plot of land.
Right? it has a relatively low population of 43,468 for the whole county. What's interesting about Siskiyou County, I think, is that you can see Mount Shasta from 100 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody assumes Mount Shasta, that's it, right? And within California Adventure District, our 12 counties taking stock of what we got, Mount Shasta is one of the, it's one of the staples, obviously, along with the Redwood National Park. In Mount Shasta, you can see it, from 100 miles away, and it's an amazing mountain, obviously, and it's also an amazing community. But there's so much more to Siskiyou County than just Mount Shasta.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do an amazing job of marketing themselves. I mean,
Discover Siskiyou is great.
Yeah, they've got. I mean, from a graphical standpoint and informational, and being a smaller populace and all that stuff, they've got a lot going on for themselves. They've done a good job.
Yeah, and I think the mountain helps. It's a nice calling card, right?
You know,
what else you got? You know, well, we have a mountain.
Right.
And
there are many places in the world that's all they have is a mountain.
That's right.
And that's all they've needed.
Right. And having been in Redding now for 12 years, Siskiyou County, Mount Shasta specifically, is obviously it's like a getaway, a popular getaway destination for us here in Redding. Like, if you want something to do for the day, you just either go to Lassen or you pop up to Mount Shasta for the day, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah. And my family quite often goes to Mount Shasta, and we spend a lot of time in, what's the little, I just drew a blank. What's the little, McLeod, sorry.
McLeod.
My bad. Because my mother bought a little home there on Broadway Street. And, you know, we go up there and just to relax, right? And go eat. And it's amazing to just walk outside and just walk around, you know, downtown and smell the fresh air. And
You went back in time.
Yeah, and it's super exciting. We always wait for winter because obviously, you know, you can go skiing and not have to drive home. You could just pop off the road and be there and get up early in the morning, or go leave the slopes and go home for lunch for a couple hours and then head back, or, you know.
So as we get into this, if you want to chime in on some of your favorite spots and some of your favorite things to do up in Siskiyou County, you can join us on the chat, kcnr1460.com, kcnr1460.com.
I've logged in, and it looks like there are people starting to talk.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. So pretty soon we will be joined by our esteemed guest from Siskiyou County. I will say what I like about Siskiyou County, and this goes against climbing up Mount Shasta, Yaks on the Five.
Oh, yeah.
Is one of those places
that's
worth an hour drive.
It's like the Grand Zellas of the North.
So if you're visiting right now, or you have guests that you need to entertain and you want to get them out of the house and you don't know what to do, a trip up to Yaks on the Five is it's worth it.
Yeah.
Some of the best burgers you will ever get. I think it's still in the top 100, right, of the country?
I believe so, yes. Right. I just have to hear somebody in the chat just said, interesting thing about Siskiyou County, most people don't know that Shasta is a tribe from Siskiyou.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was the name of the tribe, was Shasta?
I believe so. When you go up there and you go to the museum there, it's actually a very informative museum. And even though it was there for a specific project, I seem to remember wandering around instead of paying attention to the presentation, and actually wandering around the museum and observing it all. It was quite fascinating. The history of Siskiyou County is quite fascinating, including the history of weed, actually. Maybe Megan or somebody can help us a little bit more
with
the history of weed. It's a very interesting.
And that was from Jesus 96001.
I don't know him.
I love the handle.
That's right. Another thing, one of the things we like to do, haven't done it in a year or two, but is to drive up to Heart Lake for the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And go for get up into the higher elevations and see that amazing scenery, and ponder around in the lake with the kids.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
And then still be back in time for dinner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's great. We do have somebody on the phone. Okay.
Yep.
Megan, are you there?
I am.
Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are things
Heather
up?
Heather will be joining us.
How are things up in Siskiyou County today?
Well, I am in Scott Valley, and the skies are blue, but I know, you know, with the fires around, that different parts of the county are affected differently, so...
Well,
but the weather feels very good right now.
It's actually cool here this morning. I was surprised how cool it is, but it's still smoky.
That's right. Oh, and we have
Heather on the line.
We have
well.
Heather on the line too. Is Heather there too?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Okay, so I think we need to take a break in a second. Before we do, though, Megan, why don't you introduce yourself as to who you are and where you work?
Sure. I am Megan Peterson, and I do the content and PR marketing for Discover Siskiyou and work for the Siskiyou Economic Development Council with one of their programs, the Small Business Development Center there, and work with Heather.
And Heather, why don't you tell us who you are?
Looks like we lost Heather.
We lost Heather. She was disconnected. She's skiing.
She's right. Skiing.
No problem. Okay. I tell you what, we're going to take our very first break here so we can actually have some real time on the back end, okay?
Sounds
all right.
Good.
Okay, we'll be right back. Thank you.
Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, Northern California.
Good morning.
This is the California Venture District Radio Show. My name is Nigel, and my co-host, James. He's alive and well. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus 96001 or 906, whatever.
Yeah.
And today's show is all about Siskiyou County, one of our favorite spots to be in. And on the phone with us is Miss Megan.
Yes, here I am.
How are you? So, right, so why don't you give us a little story on how you ended up in Siskiyou County?
Sure. I was born and raised actually in Chico, so I'm a NorCal baby, but then moved down to the Bay Area and then moved down to Southern California for a number of years and worked in film and television, and then ended up getting stuck in traffic too many times. And in the meantime, my mom had moved up here to be closer to her twin sister, who was a rancher's wife for many years. And so she ended up moving up here. And every time we come back, my husband, who loved to be in the outdoors, this was where he wanted to end up. So we came back.
And how long ago was that?
That was in 2013, 2014 was when we moved here permanently.
Excellent. And then, so how did you end up with Discover Siskiyou, which James just complimented on, that your content is amazing.
Yeah, by the way, we, our background and my business and stuff is all about, visual arts and communication and publishing and all that stuff, and I just think you guys do an awesome job. I mean, everything that you guys put out is world-class, in my opinion, and for as small as you are, you guys are very progressive and do an absolutely awesome job.
Well, thank you very much. Heather, who's on with me, we handle most of, well, all the content that goes out there.
Heather, are you there?
Oh, yeah, Heather's there.
Yes, I am. I'm back.
Oh, good.
Great. Can you give us a quick introduction who you are?
Yes. So I work with Megan at Discover Siskiyou, and I do all of our digital marketing.
Excellent.
Very nice.
Okay, so how has 2020 been for Siskiyou County, and how has 2021 been so far for Siskiyou County?
I think
Siskiyou County is probably one of those examples too, where the influx of tourists in 2020 was probably towards the latter part of the year. It was probably pretty insane, if I'm not mistaken.
I think March and April were very, and maybe even into May, were very touch and go. But then I think it seemed like once people knew they could be out in the outdoors, suddenly we saw a pretty big shift towards a lot of people coming to get away.
We went completely dark on our digital in March just because we weren't sure what was going to happen and just wanted to keep an eye on things. And then, like Megan said, around I would say April, May, when people kind of felt more comfortable moving about, where they could roam in more open spaces, we kind of shifted our marketing to really focus on inspiration for when people could travel again. So we would do, we called them bliss breaks, and they were just really like peaceful moments showing Siskiyou scenery with audio to kind of just keep Siskiyou in the forefront of people's minds, because we weren't sure when travel would open again. And those actually proved to be pretty popular. And that's also when, and Megan can talk more about this, but we launched the Discover Siskiyou podcast, just because people were so cooped up and podcasts kind of surged in popularity. So yeah, that was actually a really cool opportunity.
Was there any particular activity besides, I'm sure hiking, but was there any particular activity that people felt drawn to come to Siskiyou for?
I feel like hiking in the waterfalls, right, Megan? I mean, our waterfalls hosts, are super popular.
And I think just the mountain itself. I mean, I think people just, you know, it's known as a place of spirituality and wellness, and so I think, you know, the idea of that really was a popular idea. So I think even just kind of being around the mountain in whatever outdoors form that might be, I think was probably a pretty big draw as well.
I have a question, because, you know, I've lived in Redding, you know, off and on a lot of my life, and obviously Mount Shasta is an amazing place, and we go to, you know, Mount Shasta, McLeod, that kind of stuff. We go up there and go skiing, but I've often wondered, you know, is there, and I may be completely missing things, so forgive me, but is there something to do as far as if you just came up to see the mountain? Is there a place to go, like a lookout point, or some type of just a basic trail that you could do to be there at the base or the close to the mountain where it really is awe-inspiring, you know, something like that? Cause,
a beginner's trail?
What is it?
A beginner's trail?
Yeah, I suppose. There are a lot of people that come into my store asking what you know, we want to go to Mount Shasta, what do we do? And they're always asking me things like, you know, we obviously want to eat lunch there or stuff, but we want to get close to the mountain, but be safe, or, you know, just if it's a mile hike or like a loop trail or something that you can just stare at the mountain. Is there some place like that that you guys know?
Absolutely. Well, I would say Bunny Flat.
What is it called?
Yeah, it's a really Bunny Flat trailhead is okay. A really good place to direct people. There's a large parking area, bathrooms, and it's just beautiful. There's some kind of rocky steps. It's right at the base of the mountain, and there are a couple trails that branch off there, and you can kind of, they're not loops, but you can go kind of as far as you want to, and one of them is dog friendly, so if you're standing at the base, if you head right, you can take your dogs. If you head left, you can't. But, and, you know, we get, like, tour buses up there. You can drive right up to the base of the mountain.
Well,
so
there
it's
you
a
go.
Really great
That's magic for me. Thank you, because, you know, I'd love to be able to tell people that, and I've never really, you know, I'm busy doing other things, but not everybody has the luxury that I do of, you know, having a small house in McLeod and kind of bebopping around, right? But they just want to get to the mountain. They want to really see the mountain, smell it, experience, touch the dirt, but, you know.
Every time I've been up to Bunny Flats, what's interesting there too is it also appears to be a staging area for those who are actually going to climb to the top of the mountain, correct?
Yes, that is where the trail starts.
Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes in the afternoon you'll see people out there getting all geared up and putting their tents up and hanging out until 2 o'clock in the morning or something.
Huh. Well, that's good to know.
Megan can talk more about this, but there's also a couple of guide services, too, if you really want to get up close. Megan, what are the names of those?
So,
yeah, well, there's there are a number of guides that can do, you know, obviously, is Chris coming on later?
Yes.
For, you know, not
yeah,
guide, but there's also, like, I know, you know, there's the Vortex tours, there's Sacred Site tours, there are some, you know, great people that can take you around to kind of different parts of the mountain as well, that have, you know, permits to operate and stuff, which is kind of a cool feature. And the one thing I was going to say also with Mount Shasta, the thing, depending on whether you're looking at it from the south or you're looking at it from the north, you know, side of it, the mountain looks different.
Yeah.
It's got kind of three different peaks. So, you know, if people want, like, even the view from Weed, like, if you come into, you know, as, like, the 97, the, you know, I know this year has been a little bit challenging just with the fires, but when that view, there's a lookout point kind of as you get to like Grass Lake. It might be past that actually, but anyway, the view of the mountain is just fantastic, and it's just as you're, you know, if you drive on, say, on A12 or 97 heading towards the mountain, I mean, the mountain just is so big and imposing. So if someone didn't necessarily want to be on the mountain but wanted just that, like, Mount Shasta in your face kind of view, sometimes actually the view from the north can be a little bit more commanding.
Yeah. So does your website...
I think this is what you're going to ask. We have an itinerary on our blog that's driving around the mountain and all of the great kind of vista points you can pull off at.
Uh-huh.
It's on our Get Inspired blog on our website.
You just kind of answered half of my question, but yeah, so...
So how does the rest of Siskiyou County feel about Mount Shasta being the calling card for Siskiyou County?
Go, Heather, you answer this.
It's a little bit touchy. You know, I think most people are okay with it. I mean, everyone who lives here understands kind of the draw of Mount Shasta. I would say a lot of the people who live here probably moved here because of that, so they get it. But I would say, and this is something that we focused on in our marketing, is really just focusing on stewardship of the land and recreating responsibly if you're going to be checking out the mountain, and just treating it with respect and keeping our local trails clean. And if you are going to come here to experience it, just doing that in a responsible way.
Well, and then it's funny thing, but we have a chat room here that's live while we're on the show, and I'm looking at a lot of... the chats that are going on right now, and of course, you know, there are several people that are big fans, but, you know, try to refrain from sharing everything because they don't, that's their biggest concern, is that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yes, as beautiful as it is and wanting to be able to share that, they also, they're, you know, they clearly state here that they keep somewhat reserved only because they want people to be visiting responsibly, right? They're afraid of too many people doing dumb things and not taking care of the land, so.
And this is a stance we've taken recently on our social media, too, where we are actually not geotagging most of the locations where we post photos,
mm-hmm.
and we're actually not posting photos at all of places that are considered sacred. So something we're trying to do to protect our land a little bit more.
That's a lot of work in itself.
It is.
But the mountain is kind of a tough thing to hide, right?
Right.
So,
it is a totally tough thing to hide, and I think that's the really interesting thing about Siskiyou County is that it really, like, it does really have four distinct regions. I know that's part of our marketing there, but it's you know, what you experience in East County is not at all what you experience in South County, is not at all what you experience in West County or North, you know. And so I think the mountain, like, while it's got the name recognition and it draws, I do think sometimes other parts of the county get overlooked because it's just all about the mountain. Whereas, like, in East County, we've got, you know, it's the lava bed National Monument is, like, I mean, and Medicine Lake is over there, and, you know, it's all lava fields and lava tubes, and it's just a completely different but equally world-class place to go explore. And then
you know, the Klamath River, which is the second largest river in California and is huge draw, you know, it often gets overlooked too. So I think there are parts, you know, part of the message of recreating responsibly is, you know, trying to do it at less impacting time, you know, spread out a little bit, do it slower.
So, I tell you what, we've got to take a bottom of the hour break. When we come back, let's specifically talk about some of the other areas in Siskiyou County that are open and that we're going to send people to.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll be right back. Thanks.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, Northern California, and we're back. California Adventure District Radio Show. My name is Nigel and James.
Howdy.
A little bit of ZZ Top in the morning is always a good thing. This show is about Siskiyou County, and I believe we still have Megan and Heather on.
Yes. Yep.
Way to go. Okay, so let's paint a scenario. You're we have people in Redding or somewhere else in the area, and they want to go up to Mount Shasta. They want to go up to Siskiyou County, but you don't want them to go to Mount Shasta exclusively. Where would you just drive by the mountain? Just keep driving. Where would you like them to go?
Megan just mentioned Lava Beds National Monument is a really great spot. Just beautiful high desert scenery. You can go explore caves. It's really beautiful drive out there too. I would say in the North Siskiyou region, there's the Shasta Valley Wildlife Refuge. You have to buy a little pass to get in. It's like $5 and again, gorgeous views of the mountain. There's a lake out there you can kayak, and not many people know about it. I've been out there and not even seen another person, and it's just a really great spot to explore. You know, the national forests are closed right now due to the fires, and so we've been directing people to take this opportunity to explore our downtowns as well. I mean, we have really world-class restaurants here, great boutiques, shopping, and so it's kind of a fun time to just explore that because I think people often really focus on, you know, the wilderness when they're here, which is great, but there's also a lot to see in town as well.
So that brings up another very important topic, probably one of the most important topics for visitors and travelers, and that's food.
Yeah, right.
Where to go eat, right? People always underestimate, our local restaurants, right? So hotels is obviously an easy thing to measure, right? Heads in beds, however many people in a hotel room, and you can measure it. But if you have a family of 3 or 4 coming, they have to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 times a day. And so our local restaurants tend to benefit quite a bit from visitors. So if you were to list some of the local restaurants in Siskiyou County or some of the local places to go eat, where would you recommend people go?
You want to take this one, Megan? You're speaking our language.
Whoever likes food the most.
I don't know. We'd have to
it's gonna be a fight.
yeah, exactly. But basically, like, I would say there's a couple little foodie hotspots. One, you know, Dunsmuir actually has amazing selection, like world class. Yeah, there's Yak's, people might have heard of just because it was like one of Yelp's top 100 restaurants, you know, rated restaurants a couple of years ago, and it's got like, you know, burgers with sticky buns, and they're famous. They started out with their sticky buns, but it's now burgers that are, you know, it's just a fun environment, and they've actually opened a branch as well in Mount Shasta downtown.
Nice.
And so that would definitely be kind of a fun Siskiyou only kind of experience to have. Cafe Madalena's is also in Dunsmuir. It's wonderful food, and very high end. And he's usually open. I think he closes in January.
You've been going there for years and years.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And then the Wheelhouse, they are, I think they're in the process of expanding at the moment, but their food is just, it's simple and good, and for like a breakfast or lunch. You know, Railroad Park Cafe is also really fun because you get to dine in a railroad car, so that is also there in Dunsmuir. I'd say McLeod has some great eateries that you obviously know about.
Yep.
There was Sage Restaurant and...
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
That's okay.
We get some feedback there.
Looks like we lost someone. Hang on.
That sounded like...
Okay, keep going. I was getting hungry.
You beamed him away.
Yeah. Then I would say there's also in Mount Shasta, there's two new kind of fun places. There's the Pipeline. It's a craft house and eatery, and it's got the great outdoor like dining space that they created actually as a result of, it was a good outcome from 2020
COVID, yeah.
Because there were grants to build the outdoor space, and so now downtown Mount Shasta's got a really fun space out there and good food. And actually Scott Valley is kind of also a little foodie hotspot. There's between Aetna, which is where I live actually. There's Denny Bar, which is a restaurant distillery. That's definitely a destination worthy restaurant. And then down the street the same owners actually with a different chef opened up the Aetna Brewing Company or reopened it.
Yep.
And so there's beers and but the food is all that kind of like, you know, it's like brisket and just really long, slow-cooked meats, and it's a lot of food and big food, if that's your thing, but it is delicious food.
Yeah. There's also,
then there's this little French bakery.
Bakery, yes. That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
We just did a story on them in Enjoy Magazine.
Yes, yeah, his Queen Amon is like, it's amazing. The dough, it's the
It's worth the trip to Aetna just for a Queen Amon.
Well, we may have to do a story on that then.
Yeah, right. A little caveat too, you are sharing a lot of great places too, but I mean even just non-restaurant but food production, you guys have one of my favorite, and that is Salt and Savory out of Dunsmuir, David, who does Salt and Savory, which is we actually carried in the store as well. Sauerkraut, yeah, probiotic sauerkrauts, and he just launched. It's delicious, but the name is kind of sad, and it's called Summer. I think it's called Summer Fire or Summer Campfire or something.
Oh no!
And it's a new flavor, and man, it is wicked hot, but it is delicious. So you know, these fires now have a namesake in food. You can bite back.
So before we leave here in a little bit and switch over to Chris from Mount Shasta Guides, where do you guys see the future of Siskiyou going? Are you guys growing as much as we are? Because I'm looking at even your real estate market. You have a pretty significant price increase and less properties on the market.
Yeah,
the housing market. Heather can talk about this because she just did a big move.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy here, and you know, I think with people being able to work remotely, we actually did a campaign that we called Work From Here. But you know, I think we have a lot of people kind of moving up here from the urban areas, and so we're shifting now to kind of look at regional partnerships and infrastructure, and making sure that we can you know, support the influx of people and still keep our trails and our wilderness areas pristine. So I'd say that's our next challenge. We've got the people here, and now we need to be able to handle it, you know.
So no more people moving there if it was up to you. I'm seeing here that the smallest size house for sale in Mount Shasta is a 480 square foot thingamajig with one bedroom, one bath, and it's
$350,000.
Phew.
it's an interesting thing where locals are feeling priced out of the market too. You know, it's kind of a hot topic here right now.
I know, that is the sad part when you have something desirable and people figure it out,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Well, and I think, I mean, that just brings up a bigger, it's like both workforce and housing, you know, they kind of go hand in hand, and I think it's that we're also feeling the pressure of that. You know, some, we represent, with Discover Siskiyou, represent the lodging stakeholders, and some aren't working at full capacity at the moment, even though they could be, just because of workforce shortage, you know, and there's not places to put people either, you know. So it's definitely, those are, I think, the big questions, and just sort of looking at how, you know, the future of Siskiyou, like how we can help support that, you know, in some way.
So. Yeah.
So are there any active or semi-active campaigns, shall we say, for some of the other places in Siskiyou County to either relocate if people do want to, if people are interested in moving to Siskiyou County, but not necessarily Mount Shasta, which I can see is full, but you have your Etnas and Wairikas and some of the other places in the county that may actually be more willing to accept new residents?
Yeah, I
yeah,
would say
that's definitely
the housing market is pretty tight, but like probably in like Wairika Weed area, you know, sort of more north part of the county. But even there, you know, prices are going to be more reasonable for sure. But there's still just not a lot of inventory. So
yeah, we would imagine that it's a little more difficult than those kind of rural areas to have a lot of inventory, just because.
Well,
how things
so
are built.
If
you know?
I was to put on a crystal ball, I would say whatever we're going through this year is going to intensify over the next couple of years. And I actually think our region is going to grow, whether we like it or not. And I think we just need to be ahead of the curve, personally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know that's been part of the, on the economic development side, you know, we've been trying to kind of establish some regional partnerships that are hopefully starting to tackle some of these. I know, you know, we've interacted and stuff as well. Nigel, just it's something that we kind of are going to need to tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people are going to go where they're going to go, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so, and personally, I think a slight increase in the tourism is a good thing for our region, because we were batting at 1.7% of the California total of tourism spending coming into the region, right? So I think all of our counties can benefit from some increase in tourism spending. It's all I think it's just a matter of kind of steering where they go to spend it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Great. All right. So
and I think also sometimes it's not always just it's maybe not fewer people. It's just maybe spread out in a different way, you know, so it's like it's not all coming up on summer weekends, you know,
that's right,
coming midweek or, you know, coming at a little bit an off, like, you know, shoulder season, where the impact is a lot less acute, you know.
Right. So one of the things we're doing with CAD is creating a 10 and a 4, a 7, 10 and 14 day itinerary for out of country, you know, international visitors to come and spend a number of days within our region and travel around. So I think Siskiyou County is obviously one of the crowning jewels, so I think it's awesome. So
that's great too, just with the stuff you're doing with the with the airports, because I think, you know, we've tended to be a drive market, but looking at it to, you know, become having air, you know, more flights will help.
Well, you know, I mean, that was one of the main reasons for doing California Venture District is you know, people should be able to fly to Redding and then spend the weekend up in Mount Shasta, but you know, so we have to market it that way. Anyway, Megan and Heather, I want to thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you very much for spending your morning with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And maybe if there's time, we'll have to drive up to Jackson.
Yeah, I know. I now want to go get, what did you call it, a something queen or an Etna?
Queen Amon.
Queen Amon, yeah. That's now I'm dreaming Queen Amon.
We'll have to look into that.
Let us know when you come. We'll meet you there.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. And
thank
we'll
you.
Be right back with Chris Carr.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700. Today.
Good morning, Northern California.
Good morning.
This is Nigel and James, California Adventure District Radio Show.
I don't know if you know, but I just found this out the other day.
Are we streaming?
We're live.
Oh.
The station is now live 24/7.
Ooh, okay. I need to make some adjustments there then. That's great. So this show is all about Siskiyou County, one of our favorite places to go to within California Adventure District.
Yes,
and
sir.
Obviously the crowning jewel visible from 100 miles away is Mount Shasta. And I believe it's on many people's bucket list to make it to the top. And on the phone with us is Mr. Chris Carr. Chris, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well this morning, thanks. How are you all?
Excellent. So you lead people up and hopefully down the mountain, is that correct?
Correct. We do, Shasta Mountain Guides does. We have a crew of guides that primarily lead summit trips as well as seminars and tours on the mountain. But primarily, as you all have been discussing, our main primary business is leading summit trips. That's certainly a big attraction for folks, although the last few years, we've certainly expanded as well, and we're seeing, I've been following along this morning and listening, you know, we're seeing more and more visitors to this area, adventure travelers, and as we know, you know, this little stretch of Northern California is just full of all sorts of terrain and regions for, you know, climbing and skiing and hiking and backpacking and fishing and rafting, and I don't need to go through the whole list, but so we've expanded, and we're now offering backpacking trips and ski touring and avalanche courses and really the full gamut of what our region offers. But absolutely, the mountain is the big draw, and going to the summit is certainly a big objective for many people. For many people, it's not as well. We can talk about that.
So how did you get into this?
You know, I grew up in New England, and I just had a strong desire to be in the mountains. I knew from a very young age I was going to live out west, and I had the opportunity in college to do an exchange, and I spent my junior year of college at Chico State, and that's where I discovered Northern California.
Oh, wow.
And it blew my mind. I mean, you know, flying into Northern California from Massachusetts and seeing palm trees and great weather and the, you know, the clay roofs of Chico State Campus and the Rose Garden, it just lit me up. So a very early road trip from Chico up through Northern California, you know, driving up I-5, I had that same experience that many of our guests and visitors have, of all of a sudden Mount Shasta appearing in your windshield and literally going, what is that? I need to climb that. And yeah. It was just this internal drive. And that was back in the early 90s. So shortly after college, I moved out and started. I was very much into climbing, rock climbing, mountaineering, and climbing much on my own personally, and reached out to Michael Zanger, the founder and then owner of Shasta Mountain Guides. And literally, I wrote him a handwritten letter and said, this is what I want to do. Will you give me a job? And fortunately enough, he did. So awesome. That was 1995, and I've been here ever since.
So you must enjoy it.
I do truly enjoy and love it, and I've been doing it a long time. It's had its challenges. It's had its wonderful moments. I've met my wife doing this. She does it as well, and many of my best friends. And I often think, you know, what's next? I've been doing this a long time, and I haven't come up with that answer. Every day I wake up, it's a new challenge, it's a new day, it's a new discovery, it's a new adventure, and I'm thrilled and motivated by it. So, yeah, I'm going to keep doing it for the foreseeable future.
So, on average, if there is an average, how many people do you take to the summit every year?
So our company, on average, we probably host about 1,000 to 1,500 guests per season, probably 800 to 1,000 for summit climbs.
Wow.
Yeah, fairly, you know, we do a fair bit. On average, 5 to 8,000 people attempt Mount Shasta, you know, with or without guide services, but many people do it on their own, although you'll have a far greater likelihood of reaching the summit climbing with the guide, but it is a very reasonable objective to do on your own, and many people do that. But it's as you've been talking, it's the crown jewel. It attracts people from all over the world. We have guests, from international guests from across the country. So, and that's, you know, on a local level, a lot of us, I don't think we take Mount Shasta for granted, but we may not realize the impact it does have internationally. And like I said, our guests are coming from all over. And in the climbing world, Mount Shasta is, you know, I consider really the perfect peak, because it's appealing for all climbers, brand new climbers, which many people are. It's their first climbing experience attempting Mount Shasta. And experienced climbers as well. For people who've got lots of experience being in the mountains, they recognize Mount Shasta as this very special place, and even if their skills, you know, they could climb much more difficult and taller mountains, choose to come to Shasta perhaps, you know, regularly to make the ascent, because it is a very special place, as you know. So it's got a very broad appeal.
Is there different routes for different skill levels, or is there just one primary route for climbing typically?
Good question. There's many routes on the mountain and many variations of those routes. Michael Zanger actually wrote, there's a guidebook outlining the 14 most popular routes. So,
oh,
you know, there's probably six routes that get climbed regularly. By far, though, there's one or two routes that see the majority of the use, and that would be the Southside Avalanche Gulch route. It's also been called the John Muir route. That was the route that John Muir took famously up Mount Shasta. And then in recent years, especially in these drier snow years, a route on the east side of the mountain called Clear Creek, Mount Shasta's least technical route, but still no less demanding or challenging, has become more popular as well. So, yeah, probably 4 to 5 routes that get climbed pretty regularly.
And then I've always had a question, because we were talking earlier, Nigel and I, that would be a bucket list for me, because I think that would be super cool, but both he and I need to shed our own backpack of weight before we we attempt that. But what is at the top? Is there, I mean, when you get there, are you truly at the top? And is there? I've heard there's a book you sign, or I don't know if any of that's true. But I mean, is it, so when you get to the top, what happens?
Boy, that's almost a loaded question. There, you know, mountaineering, reaching the summit is certainly a big part of the adventure and equation, but it's really our least important objective. You know, being safe, enjoying the experience, but certainly, you know, our goal is to get to the top. But I want to be very clear, not everybody reaches the summit.
Okay.
And independent climbers, you know, there's probably a 30 to 40% summit success rate. As I mentioned earlier, climbing with us, you're going to see closer to 80% summit success rate. But to answer your question, Mount Shasta is a classic cascade volcano. It's actually a stratovolcano. What that means, it was built over successive volcanic eruptions. Five different volcanic eruptions built Mount Shasta.
Hmm.
So on the summit itself, you can see there's a very definitive high point, the true summit, but there's the north summit as well, that was created during the most recent eruption, the Hotlam eruption. So, so there is a high point. It's a very narrow, it's a very small area. There was a rescue we were involved in several years ago where somebody fell from the summit. So it is sheer on three sides.
Mm-hmm.
And one route that kind of gets us to the top without being overly technical. Right at the base, so that's the true summit, right at the base of the, and that's called the summit pinnacle, 14,179 feet. Right at the base of the pinnacle, there's actually a hot spring, the summit fumaroles.
Wow.
And the famous story you may have heard, and I can go, you know, mention here, John Muir spent a night on the summit, unplanned summit bivvy in August of, I believe, 1867, I could be wrong on that, where he had climbed the mountain with a companion, and as often is the case, a storm developed rather quickly, clouds came in. In classic Muir style, they had no equipment, you know, wool trousers and, you know, perhaps a long shirt and some dried bread in their pocket. Storm came in. They couldn't see, as often is the case on the mountain, couldn't see your hand in front of your face. So they were on the summit, and they hunkered down in these sulfur fumaroles. So these aren't, you know, true hot springs. They're, you know, it depends, 4 to 6 inches deep of bubbling, boiling mud and water and sulfuric gas emitting from them. So they basically lied themselves prone in the summit fumarole and burned half their body and froze the other half of their body and essentially rotisserie themselves all night long in the summit fumarole.
Yes.
They awoke the next morning to clear skies and several feet of new snow and descended the mountain in bluebird conditions, never to come again. So that's at the summit. There is a summit register referring to the book that you sign, and that's common on many popular peaks or most popular peaks where there's a register you sign. So there's a steel box that's bolted to the summit because you can imagine frequently the jet stream just whips across the summit plateau and pinnacles, you know,
takes
winds
it away.
Excess of 100 miles an hour. Yeah, so
yeah.
It's literally a steel box bolted to the summit. That book does fill up with those hundreds of climbers reaching the summit every year, and it's archived at the library at UC Berkeley on the UC Berkeley campus. So,
oh, cool.
I've never done this, but I've heard stories of people whose grandfathers climbed, you know, in the early 1900s. They've gone and looked and researched through those old summit registers and looked for their signatures. So there's a book up there, and then of course, you know, the personal experience that one has, you know, the effort and the altitude and the endorphins, all those things combined that create a summit experience that's really indescribable.
That's awesome. Okay, Chris, we have one more minute left. I want to thank you for coming on. The one thing I've noticed about Mount Shasta is every year there are some people who just take it for granted and don't make it down.
Mm.
Correct. Yeah. Every year there are accidents and people So what I've experienced here often is the case, and what I love about Mount Shasta is its accessibility. You know, you can drive up the Everett Highway, I heard you mention earlier, Bunny Flat or Pepper Meadows, to 7,000 or 8,000 feet, and in short order, you can be in some very treacherous and dangerous terrain. So yeah, people do underestimate what it means to be on the mountain. Weather can change quickly. Even in July and August, we can see snow and hail and thunderstorms. So it's definitely something to be treated with respect and proper preparation and research, and definitely not to be taken lightly.
People should contact you.
Yeah. So I'm going to assume you're pretty full this year, but if they wanted to reach you, they can go where?
Yeah, go to our website, ShastaGuides.com, give us a call. And I will say this, we feel it's our duty as guides, whether you're climbing and using us as a guide service or not, I want you all to be safe and have an awesome experience. So use us as a resource. Give us a call, check the conditions, find out the hazards. We're happy to help.
Thank you so much, Chris.
You're very welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. And this was the end of show number 14.
Wow.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.